ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Chop Sports Daily Dip. We're trying to change the name up.
Yeah.
I know this is Dave's not here. It's me and AJ in studio today. Dave is dealing with some central air. Is that what we call it? Central air or?
He's been saying central air a lot, so I'm going to go ahead and say central air, yeah.
But there's duct work being done at Dave's house, and he's got a bunch of people there, so he's still not in studio. We are not doing the daily live show today, or we did not, obviously, at the time you're listening to this. If you are one of the people that tune in for our live show, our live stream on YouTube or Facebook, or I guess he does it on
Dave's Twitter as well.
Twitter as well. Yeah, we're having internet issues to a degree. We're actually having the internet upgraded to a faster speed, and the guy is working as we speak, so we can't really use the internet right now. So that's why we're not doing the live stream, but here we are. We're delivering nonetheless.
Absolutely, and I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
What do you think we should be doing about the name of the show?
If without Dave, I do like the Chop Sports Daily Dip. I think that's a pretty good touch
to it.
Well,
that's definitely not going to be the name of the show.
Oh.
Because I feel like that's been used by somebody else at a certain point for the
Daily Dip?
I don't know. I feel like it has to have been.
What about the Daily Dunkaroo?
No. The Dunkaroos are an all-time favorite of mine when I was a child.
All-time go.
I do have a soft spot for the Dunkaroos, but it's not going to be the Daily Dunkaroo. We are taking any suggestions, though. I guess you could reach out to me. There's a few of you that reach out to me consistently about the ongoings. The ongoing trials and tribulations over at Chop Sports. And as we move towards this, I wouldn't say rebrand, but football season's coming, and I think that's where we're gearing up for. The studio changes again, another set change. So when you guys tune in live, you'll see another set change. The Sunday football live show is pretty much the catalyst behind all this, but there will be new equipment and new things to make things a little bit more fun and interactive around here. That said, email me or reach out on our website, chopsportsmedia.com, and give me suggestions for the daily show's new name.
Either that or, you know what, if it's even easier for you guys, literally just hit us up in the Instagram DMs and we could take them right there. Those suggestions.
I do think that it's time to change because we are a podcast, obviously. But
obviously.
I think that goes without saying at this point. The Chop Sports podcast has been around since the beginning of Chop Sports way back in January. And as we move to more towards a live show, we kind of want to get away from the podcast being attached to the name, so any suggestions will be appreciated. That said, we do have a podcast network. So
yeah.
Go check out, as I said before, chopsportsmedia.com. Go look at all the podcasts. We got an MMA podcast with myself and Tommy D. Dave's got a Dallas Cowboys podcast. Again, I have my Packers podcast that I'll be releasing. AJ with the fantasy guy, he's got a podcast. I kind of got on with him this morning.
It was good stuff.
Look for that later on. And, of course, the Jimmy Palumbo show where we had Artie Lang on this week.
That was awesome.
That did well for us. There was a little bit of an audio issue, but that was more on Artie's end.
Yeah.
But we weren't really in a position to correct Artie.
Yeah,
at
I mean,
point.
Jimbo wasn't too happy with a little bit of the audio issue, but, I mean,
but
great
episode
nonetheless.
There's nothing we could do. You know, I'm the audio engineer of that show, and I did my best.
So. Oh, I know you did, because, I mean, it's hard with the audio like that. If you're talking on, like, a Nextel in, like,
yeah,
a...
It was, he definitely didn't have an iPhone. I would like to text Artie right now and see if he has the green bubs or the blue bubs.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, my God.
He's definitely rocking them green bubs.
Minus 1,000 on the green bubs, but...
All right.
Let's get to the show.
Yeah, let's get into some sports here. If I happen to leave your podcast off of the plug, I apologize. I'm just not with naming 15 fucking podcasts.
Hey, right that's
now.
Fine.
So moving forward with today's show. On the docket, we got a little bit of football action.
Travis Etienne.
We have a little bit of movement with some running backs and put some guys up on the list and down on the list.
Yeah.
We're talking fantasy. There's a few things that we could talk about with the running back situations around the league.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little Lamar Jackson. Speaking of running backs,
I'm a big
Lamar fan. He's just a running back. I think he's more of a receiver. But Lamar Jackson made the headlines again because I guess we'll just get to that when we get to that. But Goodell believes the Bills need a new stadium. The Bills, I think, previously threatened to leave Buffalo.
There's big time threats going on.
I don't know, man. Like I think the ownership has deep ties to Buffalo right now, and that's just wolf tickets trying to get the I guess the city officials to get behind ponying up some funds for a new stadium.
Which I believe they actually definitely should, because if you think about the city of Buffalo, what in the hell else goes on there besides delicious wings?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I have football, three friends that live there, and they don't know. I asked them. They don't know.
Apparently, Nico, the wooden spoons guy, the social media extraordinaire, I use air quotes there. But he's from Buffalo, so that's the only person I know from Buffalo, and he's a good guy, but I'll just leave it at that. Jared Dudley, I'm imagining, is who you're talking about. I didn't see this.
Yeah.
Jared Dudley joins Mavs as an assistant coach. Budenholzer gets 3-year extension. Budenholzer is the Atlanta coach?
Milwaukee
coach. I can't believe I got that wrong. But that's good. Basketball news. I guess it's really kind of slow going.
It is slow going, yeah.
AJ's dropping some NBA tidbits in the intro. J.R. Smith will be playing golf for Carolina A&T. That's a story I could get behind there. So he's a college athlete. We should actually reach out to J.R. Smith and see if he would like to get representation by Chop Sports and be a Chop athlete. AJ, that's your deal.
That's my wheelhouse. I'm going to reach out to J.R. today.
Reach out to J.R. and see if he wants some merch. And I love J.R. Smith.
I love J.R. Smith.
I'm a big fan.
His parade was fantastic. And also, he's a Freehold guy. So I feel like I could get in touch with him. Met him at a mall once. We have a relationship.
I see we got some baseball news, but I will leave that for after your update because I know you got some baseball scores to talk about. Mm-hmm. All right. So back to
football.
Back to the top, baby. Back to football. We got Travis Etienne out.
I mean, you know what? It's horrible because he's a young kid. He's talented. And to have a Lisfranc foot injury in the main foot that you plant on, that's pretty tough.
Now, I noticed this earlier, and maybe you might want to edit this out. Is it a Lisfranc or is it an ACL?
I was told it was a Lisfranc.
Because I believe on your Fantasy Guy podcast, you mentioned that he was out with an ACL.
Did I?
You might have.
Okay,
so,
possibly.
So run that back and check it. If you have to drop a little sound bite right now afterwards, you could literally just say it right now.
Okay.
You could be like
Travis Etienne.
No, you could be like Travis Etienne out with a Lisfranc, and then clip this and then add it to your Fantasy Guy podcast.
Perfect. When you edit it. You know, we're just killing two birds with one stone over here. It's beautiful.
You didn't do the sound bite yet, but we'll just do it later so you don't have to find it in the middle of a long episode.
I guess the real question here for both of us is now, what does this mean for James Robinson?
Well, you could remove him. I really, now Kyle, shout out to Kyle Kerms, the sauce. He's going to be hosting the Sunday. We haven't named that yet either. So we're taking names for both things, the daily podcast and the Sunday live stream. We need to name that.
I think I could come up with a banger.
I think with the sauce is kind of like going to be the play here. So
yeah, Saucy Sundays.
Something with the sauce or the sauce on Sunday, or that's a little too generic. But we'll,
Sunday
we'll
sauce is not bad.
Nonetheless, the sauce has said that he's going to start compiling. He's going to watch the daily live stream, which I'm all for new viewers. Mm-hmm. But he's going to start compiling a list of cold takes by me, or bad hot takes, I should say. And the one that I said yesterday was just keep all the Jaguars running backs on your do not draft list, because the Lisfranc injury, I felt like that would linger all year, and it did. It's going to be there all year. So Travis Etienne's out. But that does change my outlook on James Robinson. Obviously, you move him up to, I would say, the third round of drafts now, pretty much overtaking where Travis Etienne was slated to go. I do think that James Robinson has potential to finish now as a low-end number one, high-end number two. Pretty much, if he stays healthy, that's almost going to be a guarantee. There is a chance that he kind of has a regression, because he isn't a premier. I wouldn't say he's not a premier talent, because he's kind of done it at all stops, but yeah, he's not that prototype guy that blue chip prospect coming out of college last year.
Yeah.
He's undrafted, but if you do look at his workload in college, like, the guy always had 30 touches a game. So there was some belief in him last year by me, and I don't want to just write him off right now because I don't believe in Urban Meyer in Jacksonville right now, but the value that you could potentially get at the third, fourth round with a James Robinson, I say you have to take advantage of that. If you find yourself needing a running back, one of those guys that draft Devontae or Tyreek Hill or Kelsey early, that's the play there. AJ.
Yeah.
What do you think it does to James Robinson's value? You think
this is tough. So I love James Robinson, but if you go ahead and you look at James Robinson's numbers from last season, he started off the season on fire. I literally think he was a top three running back throughout the first 11 weeks of the season. But then towards the last six games, you really saw a lot of regression coming from him. He wasn't getting through the tackles like he was earlier in the season. He had a lot of trouble separating himself from, tacklers as well. And I find myself kind of having a hard problem here because I love James Robinson, but I hate Urban Meyer. And I really think that this Jaguars team, sorry Scoop, is going to stink out loud this year. The defense is going to stink. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to perform up to the high expectations that he has this year. And I think due to that, the James Robinson could actually struggle in spots. Will he be valuable in PPR formats because they're going to inevitably toss him the ball a bit? Yeah.
And this is one of those things where we talk about all the time, or we at least talk in private because we don't really talk much fantasy on our podcast, on this one specifically. Yeah. But due to all those factors where the defense is going to stink, it's going to be really stopping James Robinson as far as the running back situation goes. There's no dual threat like Etienne out of the backfield. They don't have that two-headed monster anymore. Because they're going to be playing from behind a lot, I do like the potential for a Marvin Jones Jr., a DJ Chark. I've always been high on DJ Chark, but their receivers have some potential to outperform their draft stock, as always. I think Jacksonville's receivers are always quietly
always productive. Undervalued.
But anyway, moving on to another running back situation that kind of raises a lot of questions around what the Rams' plans are for Darrell Henderson. But Sony Michel, I always feel like I say his name wrong.
So do I, but I think that's exactly right. Sony Michel. Some people say Michel. But
Michel. I'll go there. Go. Sony Michel traded to the L.A. Rams for a bag of balls and a kick in the nuts. Basically.
I think it was two conditional picks, yeah.
All right, so first round pick, obviously, for the Patriots a few years ago. The Patriots don't really feel that he was up to snub. Maybe it was a system thing, but it's kind of weird because I thought that they drafted him because they were so sold on the fact that he fit their rather boring system when it comes to running the ball.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I think if anything, not to cut you off, I know I just asked you what your thoughts are, but if anything, I think the guy that benefits most here is Damian
Harris. Yep, thank you. You literally just brought me into my next point. Thank you. I think that this is the biggest vote of confidence with Damian Harris and both Ramondre Stevenson that you could possibly get right now in this situation. Sony Michel is a good back, but he's been struggling for years with the Patriots. He hasn't been able to get any traction whatsoever, and I think the Patriots knew that immediately. That's why the following year they drafted Damian Harris, second round. So they knew that there was a problem with Michel from the get-go. They get rid of him right here. I personally think, like, obviously I didn't get anything back for him, but do I think now that believing in Harris and actually letting a guy who has 5 yards per carry actually have full control of that offense at the running back position, I think that's a great thing for the Patriots. I think that's very smart. And then the Rams here, they get a guy who I think has big time potential, but hasn't shown any of it. So win-win for both teams. The Rams backfield gets a little more cloudy, one could say, and Darrell Henderson obviously is the biggest loser in this trade.
Yeah, I now put him. I really wasn't high on him anyway.
Nah,
I guess he inherited a good situation, so he had potential to be this year's, I would say, sleeper, but yeah, just outperform. It especially if you had one of these keeper leagues where you had to set your keepers early, and you kept Cam Akers. Some leagues were allowing you to switch that out for Darrell Henderson. I don't know, that happened in one of my leagues. And yeah, I thought it was bullshit, but. Yeah, I think that you're right. Darrell Henderson now, I put him on my do not draft list. He's the biggest loser in the deal, and it just, like you said, it clouds the situation in L.A. on what I believe to be one of the better teams in the league.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how that plays out, and I have a dog in that race because I fully expect to be meeting them in the postseason this year as a Packer fan.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we already kind of glossed over the basketball. I don't think we need to touch on that again.
No, absolutely not.
So I'm going to let it go down to you and your update, and I'm counting on you.
You don't want to talk about Lamar.
Oh, shit. We do want to talk about Lamar. Good job, AJ. This is why you're here, buddy.
I thought it was an interesting quote, so I want to see your take on it especially. Lamar Jackson had gone and said that the NFL has not figured him out, at least yet, he said.
Did he actually say yet?
He said yet. I think he at least said yet.
Well, I do believe that they probably have figured him out in some ways. It still doesn't matter. When it comes down to it, he's like the human joystick.
Exactly.
It's hard to keep up with Lamar. And the fact that he's a dual threat, I do think that it sucks that his receivers hurt. I'm very high on Bateman, and I know that everybody who listens knows that. But he's got a groin going on right now, and it doesn't look like he'll be ready for the opener. I don't think it matters. I think Lamar is the real deal. He's got an MVP. There was some regression, but that's what happens when you have a season the way he did.
Yeah.
I think everything Simply is right where it needs to be right now, outside of him needing a little bit more help with weapons. But Lamar, the league ain't figuring that out until they develop a linebacker that's as fast as him throughout the league. Not one, not a couple here or there. There's going to be problems for him because he does have his setbacks, but let's be real. The Ravens are a contender in the AFC this year.
Ravens are very legit. I love Lamar Jackson, and honestly, watching him get absolutely shat on after the loss to the Bills on Twitter, Instagram, everything, I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait until this guy gets back on the field next year. I think Lamar Jackson's going to do huge things this year, and I think, honestly, he's right for what he's saying. Nobody has figured him out yet, like, and I don't know if people will figure him out. He's, as you said, he's a joystick. What can you really figure out about a guy being able to do literally anything while running the ball?
It's about executing. The Titans figured him out 2 years ago, but that's one team, and that's one team's ability to execute the game plan. Every team going out there, you have to have the personnel, which nope, not really many teams do, or you have to have the perfect game plan, and not many teams do. And then you have to also factor in that when you think you have him figured out, he has the coach that's saying, you know what, they're doing this now. So it's a battle with more than just figuring out Lamar. The Ravens consistently get crafty with how they manipulate the playbook to I guess, help Lamar with his skill set, which is what good coaching does. And John Harbaugh, I'm not really a fan of his, but I would take him as my head coach.
Especially, and even with what you said with the Titans, right? 2 years ago, they figured him out. But what about last year? He goes back, same place, does it differently, wins that game. So I just think that Lamar Jackson, he's an evolving player, and I think he's going to continue to be one of the greats.
You know how to figure it out? You just have Mahomes on your team. And then yeah. That's the biggest answer to a Lamar Jackson, because I feel right now it's obviously still the Chiefs to win in the AFC.
Absolutely.
But anyway, now we could go to AJ's sports update, because football we beat into the ground, and we still got to cover the football team, because Dave's not here today, so we gave him the honor of waiting a day to do his Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, we're a nice bunch over here, but let's go ahead and let's dive into yesterday's slate. We had the White Sox beating the Blue Jays 5-2. Dylan Cease gets the W in that game. The Giants shut out the Mets 8-0. Mets get Lindor back, but that does not do anything for their lineup. They lose that one pretty embarrassingly. That's an absolute eyewear shutout. The Mariners are able to beat the Athletics on the road 5-1. Mariners continue their wild card push. The Rays beat the Phillies in a low scoring affair 3-1, and the Phillies keep losing the progress that they once made on the NL East. The Red Sox and the Twins get into a high shooting affair, and the Red Sox are still able to come away victorious 11-9. The Nationals and the Marlins go at it. Nationals get that one 5-1. Yankees win their 11th straight yesterday with a 5-4 victory over the Atlanta Braves. Very impressive. I didn't realize this, but the Cardinals somehow are still in the wild card stretch, and the Tigers are able to take care of them 4-3. The Brewers beat the Reds 7-4. That kind of halts a little bit of the progress that the Reds have been making at the wild card spot. Astros are finally able to get an absolute eyewear shutout against the Kansas City Royals, who they've been struggling against this season. They win that one 4-0, and the Dodgers prove who the real team to beat in the NL West is against the Padres 5-2. That is the AJ Sports Update. I'm going to take my own note here. You know how you make notes? I'm going to take my own note here. I don't know why I just said that either the Dodgers or the Padres are the team to beat in the NL West when the Giants are leading the division. So, self note.
Yeah, and the Padres are... Did they win yesterday?
They lost, and they're falling out.
I think they're 1-9 in their last 10. So yeah. they're the team that has been beaten, we'll call them. They're not beating anybody.
Yeah. But with the news yesterday, we get that Alex Bregman returned for the Astros, and Lindor does for the Mets. Now, do you think that Bregman is a huge piece that could actually help lift the Astros offense that's been struggling?
Yeah, the Astros have been reeling, and Bregman comes back, and they win.
Obviously, there you go.
they did it with pitching as well, because you said it was a shutout. I don't really know the scores from yesterday outside the Yankee game. But Yes, obviously one of the better hitters in the American League, especially when it comes down to playoff time. Bregman has been lights out for them. Even though I think he's a cheating piece of shit, I really don't hold people accountable anymore for the cheating because I feel like it's so rampant throughout baseball that it's just you just got to accept it for what it is, and you're a fan. If you're a fan of one team that has rumors that they've cheated, they probably have.
Yeah.
So it really would be hypocritical to constantly keep pointing the finger. That doesn't mean I have to fucking like Bregman.
Absolutely.
But yeah, he definitely helps that team, and it makes the Astros lineup scary again. Yankees overtook the Astros as, like, I wouldn't say for the obviously, they're not in the wild card race, I should say. But as far as record goes, the Yankees have a better record than Houston right now, which is impressive considering where they were around All-Star break when we met.
Yep. I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say. And then let's go Lindor for the Mets. Now, do you think that he will step up and actually prove to be a pivotal player for them during the stretch offensively, or do you think he just continues to fold?
I don't really think it matters for him right now. I think the Mets mailed it in because of the DeGrom situation and the fact that they've been dealing with so many injuries. It's not just Lindor. It's been the entire team. And then throughout the season, you deal with guys that go into slumps. So even the guys, when they come back healthy, they haven't been right. Alonso has been great for them. He's about the only bright spot in that offense.
Yeah.
The Mets have fallen hard. And just the culture amongst the fan base and the ownership now getting on the players the way he has every right to, but just the way the culture has been in Mets land for as long as I can remember, I find it hard to believe that the Mets will turn this corner.
I also believe that. It's just kind of what you were saying right there is perfect because I think that's the thing. Morale is fucking low right now, really low. And it's hard to build that when you keep going against people like the Giants, the Dodgers. Like, we have a hard schedule during this late stretch. We didn't play hard enough during the beginning, and it's catching up to us now.
And I don't want to pat myself on the back for the second straight podcast, second straight day, I should say.
Yeah.
But I did call this out early when the Mets had a lot of days off because they were having a lot of postponements because of the COVID situation or rainouts early in the season. And I just knew that they're going to have a rough stretch. They ended up making up the games a little earlier than I thought they were going to be able to, but I think coupling that with the fact that all the injuries, it might have been a factor for the injuries, it was going to wear down their bullpen, wear down their pitching. There was the situation with DeGrom where he was, like, iffy for a little bit, and he kept pitching and was like, oh, maybe we should hold DeGrom out, and everybody was like, well, I believe him if he's saying he could pitch. Sometimes the team trainers or the team doctors have to get in the way of that happening, and I'm not saying that I have any inside information, but I bet you they could go back right now and say, should we pitch DeGrom this week? He's saying he could go. We're going to believe our guy. I bet you they wish they could take that back right now because who knows what's up with DeGrom, but it's looking like it could be on the wrong side of really bad.
Yeah, it's sad because, you know, Jacob DeGrom, he's an excellent pitcher, and what he does so well is his velocity, but it's at the same time that I think that the velocity he throws with will be the killer for him in the end when it comes to his pitching. I just think that it leads to a scenario where you're going to be more injury prone than not. But that's enough in terms of those teams. Yadier Molina just got extended for what could be his final season in the MLB. He's going to be signed with the Cardinals through to 2022. A, thoughts? B, who's your goat catcher, if you had to name one?
My goat catcher?
Your goat catcher.
I mean, I don't think that I could really speak on the goat. First of all, you're taking me... you're putting me on the spot as far as my GOAT.
Like, okay.
Who's my favorite or who I think is the GOAT?
Who's your favorite catcher? Let's do that.
Well,
don't know why I said GOAT. Sorry, people.
It says here non-Yankee. I would imagine that's for Dave, but Dave's not here. So,
No, that's not for Dave.
It's for both of us? It was for me.
Yeah.
So I can't pick a Yankee. I wouldn't pick Posada anyway as my favorite or the GOAT. I mean, Molina is up there. I wouldn't say he's the GOAT, but I don't know, bro. Joe Mauer, we'll just say.
I love that. I actually love
that. I'll fuck with Joe Mauer. I had him for like 8 years in a
fantasy. My favorite catcher, I don't know why I said GOAT, sorry about that, would probably go ahead and be Pudge Rodriguez. I absolutely loved Ivan Rodriguez growing up. I always thought
Pudge was a piece of shit. As good as he was, I never was a fan of Pudge.
As a person?
But you know, just in general. I don't really have any reasons for it, honestly. Just completely unfounded hatred Maybe also there was a steroid situation, but like I said, I kind of cooled off on all those guys because I'm a huge A-Rod fan. But
yeah.
Anyway, you know when we start talking about catchers and who's the GOAT catcher, that it's time to fucking take a break. And when we come back, we will break down the Washington football season, the Washington football team's season on, I guess this is what, day 18 or day 19? I don't know if I updated
this
that.
This is day 19.
We would be doing the Giants today if everything was chalk, because we should have did Dallas yesterday.
Yeah.
And then we would be doing the Giants today and
Washington
tomorrow. But because Dave's not here and we fucked up yesterday, we're now doing Washington football team today. So I apologize to anybody out there that's expecting to hear Dave talk Dallas Cowboy football again, but you're going to have to wait one more day for the Dallas Cowboys breakdown, even though we all know what's going to happen this year with Dallas. But moving on, we'll be right back.
What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I'm here to let you guys know about some new happenings with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. This time around, I want to bring you guys up to speed on some of the amazing health and wellness products. These products focus on providing happiness for people, bringing out the four happy hormones in our body. That right away makes me happy. These products aid weight loss, sleep, mental clarity, and energy, just to name a few. They have even created your morning coffee to get your day started off right. That's not all, guys. Joe is in the giving mood, so now if you mention Shop Sports, he's going to provide you with a free discounted private travel website that you can use to book your travel needs. Even better, if you become a customer of Joe's, he's going to give you guys a travel voucher that you can use for up to a year and are only responsible for airfare and taxes. Visit attitudeofgratitudellc.com for more information.
Okay, we're back. And as promised, we're going to be doing the Washington football team season preview and let you know what we think of where they're going to finish. I don't have their schedule pulled up. I guess I'm going to have to do that, because we do not have internet working right now, so I'm going to use my phone. But as always, this segment is brought to you by Absolute Eyewear. Thank you to Janine Michaud, and is his name Craig? Dave always says Craig and Janine.
Thank you
to Craig and Janine. They are located on Main Street in Woodbridge. If you go into Absolute Eyewear and you mention Chop Sports, you get $100 off any prescription sunglasses, regular glasses, sports goggles, the Rec Specs, any type of glasses. You mentioned Chop Sports or the Jimmy Palumbo Show. I was told that I have to mention Jimmy Palumbo Show by Jimmy Palumbo because he's a narcissistic bastard. But go in there, mention Chop Sports, mention Jimmy Palumbo, get $100 off. And I don't have the address here because I do not have internet, but I know it is on Main Street.
Sir, AJ, did you say $100 off?
$100 off.
That's a steal, people.
Yeah, honestly, we always talk about it. Like, everybody that I cross paths with is like, dude, why you need glasses? Like, yeah, what gives it away? Because I fucking squint constantly. Yeah. Yeah, everybody knows I need glasses. That's probably why I couldn't catch fly balls in softball, but
if you do story. If you do ever get glasses, you're going to get them from Janine and Craig at Absolute Eyewear.
I'm going to get $100 off, so it's a given. But anyway, as promised, thank you to Janine and Craig Michaud of Absolute Eyewear, always a proud sponsor and supporter of the Chop Sports Network.
I appreciate them.
All right, so moving on. Washington football team. I actually love the football team name. I was hoping they would keep it, but they're not going to be able to. For one reason or another, I think it has something to do with a soccer club that's over there.
Yeah, there is a soccer club, I believe, that has a conflicting team name with them. But I love the Washington football team in general this year, actually. Looking at this team all put together, Ryan Fitzpatrick's leading the charge. He's at the quarterback position. And I guess the big question actually is right there. Do you believe that Ryan Fitzpatrick has enough in the tank to deliver this team to the playoffs?
Yes.
That's it.
Oh, I thought you had more of a follow-up. Yes, I do believe Ryan Fitzpatrick has enough to lead this team to the playoffs. I don't know if it's because of Ryan Fitzpatrick per se. I think that he's one of those guys, you get some really good play from him, and then the next time you see him out there, he throws four picks in a half. But I think the roster as is, outside of the quarterback, is one of the better rosters in football. I understand that people are going to look at me like, what, really? Washington football team? Yes. The defense is elite. I think Chase Young has the potential to be the next Aaron Donald of the league, where it's like when you ask who's the best defensive player in football, it's just clear cut, bar none,
Chase Young,
as people say now, it's Aaron Donald. He's clear-cut the best defender in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll go into their offense and the reasons why I believe the Washington football team is legit. It's going to start off with their skill players. I'm not really familiar with how great their offensive line is, but I know the way Gibson played down the stretch last year, that their offensive line had to have found something.
Their line's pretty good.
Yeah, their line is pretty good. Thank you for picking me up on that.
I got you.
But I'm really, really high on Antonio Gibson. Really high on him. I think his ability as a dual threat out of the backfield is very underrated. He's a big guy. We talked a little bit about Trey Sermon
mm-hmm.
on your previous, on the fantasy guy today. I think Antonio Gibson is a very, I think Trey Sermon could have a similar career path given the way he came on last year.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Sermon could do kind of the same thing. But just Antonio Gibson, I'm a big believer in him, and I'm a really big believer in Curtis Samuel. I'm very high on him. I think that the acquisition of him outside of Terry McLaurin, I believe they were college teammates.
They were at Ohio State.
At Ohio State. So just having those two guys teamed up, almost like an Odell and Jarvis type situation, but maybe even, I dare I say, like a better version of that
mm-hmm.
right now.
Yeah, I mean, could be.
Scary Terry is a problem. I think he's one of the most underrated football players in the league. Very, very similar to an Allen Robinson type.
I love it. Yeah, that's a great comparison.
Maybe not as athletic as Allen Robinson, but just a hard-nosed, really good football player. And Logan Thomas, another underrated player.
At a
position of importance, I think, right now. I think tight end is a very underrated position. If you look around the league, the teams that have a really good tight end win football games. I think another year with Logan Thomas at the position, because he's not been a tight end his whole career.
He was a QB at Virginia Tech.
So not being a quarterback his entire a tight end his entire career, and now having one more year of coaching under his belt, and a quarterback really with, to get back to the original point, Fitzpatrick, he's going to fling it, bro. You know,
he's going to
fling the ball. You're going to win some good games and lose some ugly ones with him. Shout out to Dave, because I'm pretty sure I stole that quote from him. But, yeah, Fitzpatrick, I'm just a fan of his, the way he plays. He gets the team on his side, and
yes.
I think that's very important.
Yes.
He gets the team behind him, and typically he's liked by his teammates. And if you're a quarterback that plays shitty sometimes and your teammates still like you and don't talk shit behind your back, that's very important. The defense is going to play well. And really, there's not enough good things I could say about Washington's defense, because
yeah.
they have potential to be the best unit in football.
Yeah. So kind of touching what you said on, I mean, Antonio Gibson is a guy that I'll give you guys a little taste of my bold predictions episode coming for the fantasy guy soon. I think Antonio Gibson will be a top 5 running back this year in fantasy. He's going to be an absolute monster. I really think that the offense is actually going to run through him this year. I think he'll be the focal point. Be in that Christian McCaffrey type of role. He has the same coach, Ron Rivera. I think it's all set up for Antonio Gibson to be an absolute monster this year. Terry McLaurin, as you said, on the outside is ridiculous. He's a phenomenal receiver, and now you add Curtis Samuel, guy who not only could do little tricky gadget plays and really confuse the defense, but who just is overall a solid guy with the balls in his hand.
Pause,
bro. With the ball in his hand and could create space. I love it. Adam Humphries, slept on slot guy. I think he could actually do some pretty decent work over there. Dyami Brown's a great young receiver, and so is Cam Sims, to be honest. So that's amazing. Logan Thomas, at the end of the season last year, I think had 3 games with 8 or more catches. Logan Thomas had 3 games with 8 or more catches at the end of the season last year. He was absolutely ridiculous, and that O-line is led by Brandon Scherff. He's playing guard now instead of tackle, and they're still absolutely phenomenal. But let's go over to the defensive side of things. We got Chase Young, who you said is going to be ridiculous, and I couldn't agree more. Darren Payne is pretty good as a defensive tackle for them, and Montez Sweat is a guy that I think is really going to come on this year, and he could be one of the most improved players at that defensive end position. John Bostic, very solid linebacker. Jermaine Davis, I don't know much of, but I've heard he's quite solid. And Cole Holcomb is the other linebacker there. Linebacker could be, I guess, the weakest spot amongst this defense, but
when you have a defensive line that has the potential to get after the quarterback that way, it helps out a lot with even the problems that I might foresee in the secondary. Just the defensive line is just all world. I do think that Montez Sweat, just the name alone, one of the
it's
best.
It's a sweet name.
You know, he honestly sounds like he should be singing R&B somewhere, but
yeah.
instead he's chasing down quarterbacks, and he's one of those athletic types, almost like, I want to say an Alden Smith, Right? Mm-hmm. He's like long,
yeah,
long and rangy type of defensive end who's, I don't know how great he'll be against the run, but the thing is, the rest of them are really good against the run. So I don't know that you're going to need him to do much run stopping. But, yeah, what do you think about their secondary?
Secondary. So, Landon Collins, I absolutely love. I think that he's just a stud, to be honest with you. Kendall Fuller, great cornerback. William Jackson, the third is also another really good quarterback. Cameron Curl, I've never heard of before. Do you know much about the Curl, sir?
I do not know much, but he's going to have his hands full because I think that as bad as people want to say the division is, I do think that there's some really talented receiving threats in the NFC East this year. Obviously, Dallas is loaded at the position, and now with Kenny Golladay being a giant, it makes that what I think is one of the deeper receiving cores in the league just that much harder to deal with. Daniel Jones is the real factor there, is how is he going to play?
Yeah. And then the Eagles, they got Devonta Smith.
And the Eagles, I'm not sure about, but I think Jalen Reagor will be much improved. So
Rager's going to be dope.
I guess here's, we don't. I'm thinking because we're doing Washington football team, we would have to be picking the division winner, but we don't because we got to wait because of the out of orderness. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. All right, well,
let's dive into the schedule.
Yeah, AJ, you bring it up?
Yeah, I'm going to bring it up right now. So, all right, get that preseason BS out of here.
How about this? What do you think? What's their over-under on wins?
Yeah, I got the over on win totals. So the over-under on the win totals is 8.
All right. So that's around where I thought it should be. That makes me a little more confident in taking the over.
Okay.
Just because the division has some winnable games in it. Even the teams that, like, I really just don't know how to go outside of Philly. I think that these three teams at the top of the division are all good enough to where they could potentially make a move towards one of the better teams in the league, but I'm not sure that any of them are good enough to actually do that. So it might be very similar to what we saw last year where, you know, they kind of beat up on each other and they have a tough time outside the division. But I could easily see Washington's defense being responsible for at least 7 wins on their own.
Yeah, I mean, they're truly that good. But looking at the schedule this year, there are some tough games on here, we'll say. They go against the Chargers week 1. Giants, then Buffalo, Atlanta, New Orleans, then Kansas City, then Green Bay. So they have a stretch where it's New Orleans, Kansas City, Green Bay 3 weeks in a row. And that's 5-2-7. They also verse Tampa Bay and Seattle, and then they end their season with a 5-game stretch of Dallas, Philly, Giants.
The schedule is tough. Set up really strange because they just bang their division out at the very end of the season all in a row, 5 games like that.
I've never seen that before.
Luckily, the division sucks.
Sucks.
But those are going to be some big football games down the stretch for them. And looking at the schedule, it makes me less confident in my pick of over 8 games. But I'm just going to go with my gut and say 9-8. I'm curious to know what I picked for them in Kyle's show because I think we did the NFC and I'm pretty sure I said over as well, but I might be the only guy that picked the over for Washington on the show.
So if I had to pick an over under, I'm going ahead and I'm picking the over with 9 wins as well, but it's going to be so close. That division's so tough and there's so many tough games on here that it really makes it hard for me to definitively make a decision. Honestly, out of all the teams that we've done so far, I think this is the hardest one I've had to make in terms of over or under because it's really tough. I think it actually could be a push, most likely, 8-9.
8-9, and I guess we'll just reference the Sauce over-under games picks with Washington and to get Dave's because he's been on record as saying something about their win total. So we'll just use that when we do our graphic.
Yeah, I know Dave doesn't like Washington and he's down.
We could go ahead and say Dave picks the under on this one by default because he's biased and he's not going to talk good about any team in his division because he's biased.
He wasn't as bad yesterday with the Giants. Eagles he hated.
I know, I'm just fucking around with you, honestly. But anyway, that's it for the Washington football team. It's been fun, football team. I do like you more than most people do. I think I give you a little more credit. You are the sexy pick going into this year, and I usually steer clear of those teams. But for when we're talking about a defense, that's when I buy in. I don't really care about all the other things, the fluff. But they got the defense, so I'm buying in on what Washington's potentially able to do this year. Go check out the podcast on the ChopSportsMedia.com, on the Chop Sports Network. We have merch out there. You could check out the AJ's new creation.
All Gas, No Breaks. We got the Bills Mafia.
Did we get your Fantasy Guy shirt up yet?
We got the Fantasy Guy. I think the shirt's up.
I don't know. I got to look. But if it's not up, we'll get it up and we'll make a promo so we can get AJ some coin in his pocket. It's a very cool shirt.
I like it.
It just says Fantasy Guy across the front of the chest.
It's very simple.
Chest with, as you would imagine, Fantasy Guy is a play on Family Guy. So you could imagine what font we're using. Just check it out in the store, chopsportsmedia.com, and click on merch and you'll be able to check out all the merch that we offer. We got some NIL college athletes that you could help support, a lot of Rutgers guys. We got some local Colonia guys for all of our Patriots out there. We got some John Paz action. So yeah, go check out the merch, go check out the podcast, and be sure to tune in to the live show. We will be back tomorrow live at 11 a.m. And we'll be breaking down the Dallas Cowboys and anything else that happens in the world of sports tonight. So it's been great. Had more fun this time doing the show, just me and you, AJ.
Yeah, we definitely had a better flow of things this time than last time.
We were just more prepared. I wouldn't say more prepared. I just have a little more confidence in the leading
yeah.
at this point. So let me know how I did, guys. Honestly, I'm curious to know the feedback. I get some honest feedback from some of you, so I appreciate that, and we will see you tomorrow. Boing, boing, boing.
Penis.
That's a great quote.